From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. It is an amazing fact that there are no Native American women in the United States Congress. There never have been. There are a few indigenous men, but no women. Well, several women are hoping to change that this year, a banner year for first-time candidates for Congress. Among the handful of Native American women running for office is my guest, Deb Holland in New Mexico's 1st District. Holland has just released her platform, strongly based on progressive economic and social values. She's a citizen of the Laguna Pueblo tribe, and she joins me now. Welcome to the program, Deb.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, give our audience a little bit of a sense of your background and what has led you to want to run for office. As far as I understand, you don't have experience in an elected position?
Well, I was elected as chairwoman of the Democratic Party of New Mexico during the from 2015 to 2017. Of course, that was an inter-party election. Nonetheless, I have a great deal of experience in leadership roles, and definitely have experience in the struggle that a lot of New Mexicans face today. And so I feel confident that I would be a strong voice for the people of District 1.
It was shocking to me that there are no members of Congress that are Native American women, and it's not just that there aren't any right now; they literally have never been. How do you, you know, when you think about that fact, you have never, and Native American women like you, have never seen yourself reflected in the Congress of this country?
That's correct. Yes.
It's shocking.
Yes, I've never seen myself in that body of legislature, of the legislature. And so, yes, it is shocking when you think about how important every single voice is to the future of our country and the success of our country. So yes, that's something I'm fighting for.
Why are you running for Congress? What motivates you to join this body that, you know, has just been so sorely lacking in representation, but of course wields enormous power?
Well, I've worked for, almost 20 years here in New Mexico, working very hard to give underrepresented people a seat at the table. I've been passionate about the right to vote here in New Mexico, and have gotten, have helped to register thousands of voters, have gotten thousands of voters to the polls over the years. And during the time I was state chair, we won across the state. We had an overwhelming victory here in New Mexico. I was very proud of that. And I just feel confident in my ability to be a strong voice for the people of New Mexico and of District 1. And so that's primarily my motivation, is I feel that we need new voices in Congress to talk about, to push the agenda, to push the issues that we all care about. And I am that voice. I've lived progressive values, and I am that voice.
On your website, you are referred to as Donald Trump's worst nightmare. What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, that's some of my supporters have come out and said that because they look at me as the antithesis of Donald Trump. He is privileged. He's a businessman. I never had to struggle a day in his life. He's not clearly not a woman, and actually has not been a champion of women at all. In fact, we saw his presidential campaign was anything but that. So he also has been very derogatory toward Native Americans. And so I want to go to Congress to hold people like that accountable, because we have to fight to make sure that people have an opportunity as success in this country. And currently it seems like President Trump and the GOP are working overtime to demonize poor folks, to demonize women, And so so I am definitely going there to speak up about our issues.
So the issues are, of course, varied, and you have released your platform. Give us a sense of some of the issues that you think are critical. It seems as though no matter what state one lives in these days, economic issues are critical. People are struggling to get good jobs, be able to afford health care, child care, those basic economic issues that, you know, make that one needs to have in order to have a decent standard of living. How much of your platform is based on those?
Well, a great deal of it, actually. I think that so many of the issues go directly back to the economy and jobs. Currently, climate change and creating a renewable energy revolution in our state and in our country is a very large issue. New Mexico has almost 300 days of sun per year. There's no reason why we shouldn't have 100% renewable energy right now. I'm working toward that, and I think that would create thousands of jobs. Additionally, we're fighting every day to make sure that folks have health care. Medicare for All is a big economic driver here in New Mexico, as it is in many, in fact, across the country. So we're working toward that. I am also working to get big corporate money out of politics, because I don't believe that our elected officials should be working for the lobbyists. They should be working for the people who actually elect us into office. And so in addition to that, I'd like to see more help for small businesses here in the largest city in my district, Albuquerque. Small business is the backbone of our economy in our city. And so I'd like to definitely make sure that we are doing everything we can to support small businesses in that way.
Now, education is a really big issue, and we've seen teachers in state after state walk out in the hashtag Red for Ed movement, demanding better conditions for themselves, for their students. We have a very serious crisis in public education, specifically at the state level, specifically because of austerity measures driven by the likes of the Koch brothers. Others. How critical is this an issue for you?
It is very critical. In fact, in 2014, I ran for lieutenant governor here in New Mexico, and our platform was essentially education. And so I am a wholehearted supporter of education. I want to see universal early childhood education across our country. I know how important that is. As a single mom, I volunteered at my daughter's preschool so that I could afford the tuition. I know that's not a possibility for many parents, and that is something I think that would help our country more, just about more than anything I can think of. Those are a few reasons why I've been endorsed by the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association. I'll continue to fight for education. We need to protect our public education. Right now we have a Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, who is pro-voucher. She does not support public education and essentially wants to pick and choose the students she wants to help instead of ensuring that every single American child has an opportunity for a quality public education. I'll always fight for that.
Now, recently, Donald Trump decided that he wanted to return to the Reagan era restriction of family, federal dollars to be restricted from groups like Planned Parenthood that offer abortion services. Abortion is, even though Donald Trump has flip-flopped on the issue, of course, he's very obviously pandering to his evangelical base in cutting women's access to abortion. What is your position on the issue of access to abortion?
It is, I advocate for absolutely no government interference in a woman's right to choose. Women's reproductive rights have been under attack for decades, and abortion is legal in this country. And no matter how you cut it, it's legal. And so I have been on the front lines fighting for women's reproductive rights for a very long time. And it's why I've been endorsed by Planned Parenthood and the National Organization for Women. our reproductive rights. Women fought and died for women's rights, our right to vote, our right to choose. And so I think when they limit funding for Planned Parenthood, it also limits funding for family planning, birth control, all of those things that we know could keep women healthy and have opportunities to form their families the way they choose. So I will always be on the front lines fighting for women.
Now, Deb, you're running as a Democrat, and you said you were even held elected office within the Democratic Party. There is a battle going on for the soul of the Democratic Party and this sort of establishment Democrats versus progressive Democrats. And I'm wondering, you know, a lot of people, a lot of rank and file Democrats want the Democratic Party to explicitly adopt a progressive platform and then work towards it, rather than simply saying that they're against Donald Trump or the Republican Party. Far too many Democrats rely on corporate money, as you said you wouldn't, don't want to do in your candidacy. So do you see yourself as a Hillary Clinton-style Democrat or, say, an Elizabeth Warren-style Democrat?
You know, I've been a Democrat for a long, long time. I first registered when I was 18 as an independent, because both my parents were Republicans, and wow, I knew I wasn't like them. However, after the first time I participated in an election, I realized that I was a Democrat, and I have been fighting for Democratic values for a very long time. I've been fighting for progressive values for a long time. I think that all of the Democrats can come together. We can ensure that we are moving forward. You know, I look at moving toward 100% renewable energy and Medicare for all and a strong public education system and workers' rights and raising the minimum wage. Those are all things that all Democrats believe in. And yes, I think adopting a progressive agenda would unify us more than we probably realize right now. And I would like to see that happen. I would like to see us have a progressive infrastructure plan and all of the things that we know will get our country back on track. I think if the Democrats take back the House this year, that will be a good opportunity for us to really solidify our plans to ensure that we're moving forward on a progressive agenda.
Would you like to see your fellow Democrats, refuse corporate money from corporate lobbyists and money from corporations and undo Citizens United?
I would absolutely. I am fighting to end Citizens United. Absolutely. Currently in my race, we have had a huge influx of corporate money come into this race to try to elect the conservative Democrat in our race. And I see what that does. It undermines all of the grassroots support that candidates build over the months of working on their campaigns. And it's disheartening to see that, you know, there's Trump voters who know they can't win the seat in District 1 because it's a Democratic seat, it's a plus 7 district, so they'll work to get the most conservative Democrat elected instead. And so that's something that we're fighting against. And it's terrible that, four rich bankers from New York or Chicago can donate $250,000 apiece and infiltrate a race that that really belongs to the grassroots support of this district. So we're working hard to battle against that, and I will fight to end Citizens United until it's overturned.
Deb, we started our conversation talking about the shocking fact that there have never been Native American women representatives in Congress. How unique are the issues facing indigenous communities in New Mexico and also nationwide? Because if you get elected to Congress, you will be representing the entire country. And certainly Native communities could use greater representation, more advocates within Congress. What are some of the unique issues facing these communities that you want to uphold within Congress?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, Native Americans, we care about so many of the same issues that that every American and every New Mexican cares about. We want our children to have a good quality public education. We want to be able to go to the doctor when we're sick. We want an economy that helps us to support our families. Here in New Mexico, Chaco Canyon, my ancestral homeland, has been under threat for a long time. The BLM, even though they've made a stay of auctioning off some land parcels near that sacred site, it's always a worry that that the BLM will, you know, auction off land and allow oil companies to come in and frack in those areas. Additionally, the Secretary of the Interior has been working hard to shrink public lands, and that is part of President Trump's agenda. And in those public lands, there are a lot of Native American sacred sites that need to be protected. And if those fall into private hands, it's very hard for us to access those areas. Also, environmental issues. We all were witness to the protest in Standing Rock, North Dakota. That was a battle for a sacred lake and clean water that that we always want to make sure that we fight for. So I feel strongly that my presence will have a positive effect, that it, instead of tribal leaders, I want tribal leaders to have a seat at the table. I want them to be present at hearings and be present to give their testimony about these things. We should always invite them to the table so that they can tell their story, and hopefully folks will begin to listen.
So you face a primary election in June. How challenging has your path to this race been, and how confident are you at winning that primary and heading to the November election?
Well, I remain confident. We've worked extremely hard. I'm the only candidate who hasn't written myself a big check to my campaign. Every dime that I've raised, it has been because of our efforts. And we have remained in the top three fundraisers for our campaign. And, you know, that's pretty much the issue about a congressional campaign, is you have to raise a lot of money. But I am, I am proud of the work we've done. We outraised every single one of our opponents in the last fundraising quarter that ended March 31st. I have garnered a tremendous amount of grassroots support across New Mexico and across the country. When we started this campaign, we told ourselves we would need to build a national campaign. And I feel confident that we've done that. We've gotten a tremendous amount of national press. I have gotten tribal support across the country, and a lot. And 16 members of Congress have also endorsed my campaign. And some of those members have actively helped me to raise the money I need for this election. So we feel very confident. We have a robust field program. In fact, I'm in my field office right now. We have folks out canvassing doors. We're making phone calls every day. And regardless of how close the race is between me and the other candidates, I think a robust field program will definitely put us over the edge. I feel confident about winning on June 5th.
Deb, you said that you haven't written yourself a check for this campaign of yours. And I read in your bio that you, like so many New Mexicans, had to rely on food stamps at times as a single parent. You've been a small business owner. You know what it's like living paycheck to paycheck. You struggle to put yourself through college and law school. And both you and your daughter are still paying off college loans. So that seems to me to be a life experience that is far more relatable to ordinary Americans than to most members of Congress. It's sort of I'm assuming you don't have a large chunk of money just lying around to write yourself a check for, which in a way qualifies you quite well for being a representative.
I absolutely agree. I recently wrote an op-ed in the Albuquerque Journal, and we are lacking people of color in our elected positions everywhere, local, state, federal offices. And what I said in this op-ed is we not only need people of color, but we need people with that life experience. We need people who have had the experiences that 99% of New Mexicans and Americans face every day. That voice at the table will be invaluable. I think we have a dearth of, you know, a large number of privileged folks who have lost touch with what it's like to struggle that way. And I know what it's like to struggle and be denied emergency food stamps when I felt confident that when you don't have food in the refrigerator, you know it's an emergency. And so I know what it's like, and I just feel, you know, confident that I have the education, that I have the background, that I have the compassion and the intellect to help make New Mexico a better place. And I join my fellow New Mexicans in that struggle, and I believe that we desire to have somebody that understands that.
Well, Deb, I wish you the best of luck. Give out your website if people are interested in finding out more about your campaign.
It's debforcongress.com, debforcongress.com. And yes, we'd love to hear from you.
That's debforcongress.com. We'll post a link to that from our site later. Thanks so much, Deb.
Thank you.
Deb Holland is a congressional candidate from New Mexico running for that state's first district. She's also a citizen of the Laguna Pueblo tribe. She could become Congress's first Native American female member, and she heads into the June 5th primary. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.